Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings that remind us to exercise our citizenship here on earth, but to always remember that we are ultimately citizens of heaven. And so we pray for wisdom and discernment as we serve you here on earth, that we will render to Caesar what is Caesar's, but render to you what is yours. Give us that wisdom. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Good morning. So in his great priestly prayer in the 17th chapter of John's Gospel, before Jesus departs this earth and is crucified and before his resurrection, he has this wonderful prayer where he's praying for his disciples whom he's called. And he says, "Father, I thank you that you've not taken them out of the world. They're in the world, but not of the world." And there's a Christian song by an old Christian group called Avalon I used to play when I would do catechetical certification. You know, that sense of balance that, you know, we're here on earth, but this is not our ultimate destination, but that doesn't give us the irresponsibility of not fulfilling our duties while we're here and doing everything in our power to bring about the kingdom of God and to help people order their lives towards love of God and love of neighbor. So that's why I said that prayer at the beginning. We need to pray for wisdom and discernment because it's kind of a hard balance to strike. I'm sure all of us have been in situations, maybe in a workplace or at a family gathering, where we could have said something on behalf of the Lord or our faith, and we kind of got shy and timid and didn't say anything. And you kind of leave the setting like, did I just compromise my faith and not stand up for what I believe? So we all are put in those situations. And so we're just constantly praying to be more refined through the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we be good citizens while we're here on earth, but always remember this is not our final resting place, so that we get so caught up in earthly matters that we forget our duties and our vocations and our state of life to serve the Lord. What does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? And I think that's a real big trap that the enemy sets for us. And so we have to exercise our citizenship. The U.S. bishops years ago wrote a nice little document called Faithful Citizenship. It's on their website. I just got my ballot the other day. I tossed it on the coffee table so I wouldn't forget about it, along with all kinds of other things. I'll have to go through and dig it up. But I think it's very important for us to exercise our citizenship. And you know, we want to make sure that we avoid a couple of extremes. One extreme would be, you know, that we're so aligned with our political party or our ideology that we really don't read the Bible, we don't listen to church teaching, the social justice teachings, we don't take time to pray. We just think, well, I've got it, I'm part of this, and this is the right thing. And that's one extreme where we elevate our politics over our faith. And I've met people who do that. They're usually not very happy, by the way, because they're putting their faith in the wrong thing. And then there's the other extreme where, you know, and actually had somebody in my family was kind of on this level, not anymore, but you know, it's all corrupt and my vote doesn't make a difference, so why even bother to vote? Well, that's another extreme. It's like you're just detaching from your responsibilities to try to bring about a more just and peaceful world and not exercising your citizenship. So we want to make sure we don't, you know, vacillate to one of those extremes or the others, but that we're prayerfully taking everything to the Lord and praying, Lord, what would make the best, what is most pleasing to you? That's basically what we're asking. You know, what is pleasing to you, instruction, a world filled with your love and justice, and, you know, where people all have a place at the table and are able to participate in our democracy and everything. So we should take time to pray about that, but we realize that we're limited. We can't change everything around us. And things change very slowly, but little by little, those good decisions that we make, those wise decisions by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit can turn the table and bring about a more just world that we live in. So we want to make sure we participate. I've always told you, you know, some priests I know like to rattle people's cages so they talk about politics on the pulpit. I don't do that. Like, this is a place to talk about the Lord and Catholic teaching, and if you don't get it from here, where else are you going to get it? But I know some priests who like to get under people's skin and so they mention certain people and names, and I just think that's very inappropriate. So I won't tell you who to vote for, but I'll tell you it's a sin not to vote. exercise your citizenship, right? Try to make a difference. But remember, this is not our final resting place. So don't get so caught up in worldly things that you forget about your soul and neglect your soul. And, you know, the reality is, and I met somebody who just got a degree in political science, and I said, well, I'm going to pray for you. That's something I probably couldn't work in. And I get so cynical, probably. But even in the church, there are structures that are not working well. They're corrupt, they're diseased, you know. They're not aimed at, you know, people and relationships and so forth. I mean, I've been dealing with that for the last 26 years as a priest. There are good players in the game, and the people who really aren't playing the game very well, and we're all part of it, you know. So do we allow those disappointing experiences to make us bitter or cynical, expecting the worst out of people? I've struggled with that over the years, you know, when certain things happen and people don't listen or they don't seem to really care about me and my reality or our parish. It's a real temptation to just kind of dig my feet in and just be very judgmental and harsh and just to paint with a very broad brush. And when I do that, I don't like who I am. You know, there's a real lack of joy, and I just feel trapped and like I can't make a difference. And so we have to work within the structures, but the structures are a means to an end. And so it's about people. It's about relationships. It's about loving God and loving people. And sometimes as a church, we get so caught up in the structures that we really lose our perspective. And we start hurting people, and we really don't show forth the compassion and love of Jesus Christ to one another. So it's a reality we have, like this whole partners in the gospel. We have to go through this, but I'm convinced that God will, you know, bring good out of it. It's going to be difficult, like everything is, you know. This discipleship is not for wimps. But even in the situation where they were testing Jesus and trying to trap him with his speech, he brought something good out of it, and a very clear teaching: render to Caesar's what's Caesar's, render to God what's God's. He used every opportunity, even when people attacked him, to bring about good. We have to do the same thing, amen? And we can if we're praying in the Holy Spirit, if we're forgiving people who hurt and offend us and not holding on to that garbage because it just poisons us. But we're limited, and I always fall back when I find myself disappointed, sometimes in myself, the way I respond to people, or my thinking, that stinking thinking I've told you about. Going back and remembering the goodness of God, the times in my life when I was all alone and no one seemed to be there, and he stepped in to do something incredible in my life, and I go back and remember that. A lot of times I use music because that's a big connection for me. And it helps me remember that he's going to get me through whatever challenging situation I have in front of me today, a week from now, a month from now. He's a faithful God. He's a good God. And so we do the best we can, but I think a lot of people are feeling very discouraged right now. A friend of mine mentioned that a priest she knows, who's usually very chipper and upbeat, she went to his church. She's moved away, but was back visiting family and just said he seemed really down and out. Said, yeah, we really need to pray for one another right now and to try to encourage one another and remind one another that God is going to be with us no matter what happens. He's a faithful God. We all have our moments of struggle. Elijah in the broom tree, we all have those moments where, oh, I don't think I can do this anymore. And the angel, get up and eat something. You're not done yet. You know, God has something for you at the foot of the cave. Listen carefully for that still, small voice giving you the guidance you need to get through this latest crisis. And there'll probably be another one next week. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? So I want to share with you a passage of scripture that I just think summarizes probably more eloquently than I just did what the message I'm trying to convey to you today. It's from Titus. And I think I shared this a few months ago, but I was sitting at the Christmas vigil or midnight mass. And this is the reading on one of the cycles for that. And it just brought tears to my eyes because I thought, you know, I know the mercy of God and I can relate to what he said here. And the last word that Paul says to Titus is, this saying is trustworthy. Oh, you bet it is. But it addresses our citizenship too, so give it a listen. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle and to show every courtesy to everyone. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit has been poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This saying is trustworthy. Amen, it's trustworthy. So think about that during the week as you prepare to vote. Whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, think of these things. Amen?